You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter away at Chorley from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll be hearing if the FC United women's team could make it through to the next round in the Argyle Cup, as the Reds hosted Penrith on Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start with Manchester Premier Cup news, as FC United will begin their defence of the competition this season away at Salford City. The match will take place at Moor Lane on Tuesday the 7th of November, 7:45pm kick-off. In other news, and FC United's academy are starting their recruitment process early this year and are hosting the first set of academy trials this week during the half-term break. The trials will take place from 5pm this coming Thursday and Friday at Broadhurst Park. For further information, please contact jack.doyle@fc-utd.net or tom.conroy@fc-utd.net. Or you can phone the FC United Club office during office hours on 0161 769 2005. And finally, FC United are also running a half-term holiday multi-sport course for 7 to 16-year-olds free of charge this week, with activities including football, American football, tag rugby, athletics, dodgeball and much more on the club's 3G pitch. The activities will start at 10am and finish at 3pm each day. Please bring a packed lunch and drinks, and places must be booked prior to attending the course. To book your place, please contact the office on 0161 769 2005 or email tom.conroy@fc-utd.net. So to the weekend's football now, and FC United travelled north on Saturday afternoon to take on our old friends Chorley. To set the scene now, it's over to FC Live at Victory Park.
Welcome everyone to Victory Park, and it's now time for team news. Team news.
Actually, hold it, it's a printing press here.
So... Right. Welcome everyone, and we've got a lineup for you. Not just the commentary team, but the visitors.
Well, say hello to the commentary 11. Team first.
Hello, Paul. How are you? Oh, sorry. Try again.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Paul's there. There he is.
So we've selected a team of 11 players and 5 substitutes, and that concludes team news.
Yes.
Thank you, Paul. Paul,
I've got a thought for the day.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Nick Horton.
Yeah.
Of Chorley, was their FA Cup hero in midweek with 3 goals, and he's transformed this team. They've won most of the last 11 games. They've lost 1. He's on loan from Fleetwood Town.
He is indeed.
Okay, as is the goalie, Unwin.
Yeah.
And the question I want to put is this: who was the last player that FC have signed on loan from a league club for a successful period?
That's your question, is it?
Yes.
Do you want to answer it, or the listener, dear listener?
It could be rhetorical.
We know what the answer is.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know, Ben, I know.
Now, Chorley are not a massive club.
No, by no stretch of the imagination.
So how can they get 2 league players into their team and we can't?
Again, rhetorical. I'm not answering any of these questions. I'm not being put on the spot this afternoon.
Go.
But let me give you the news is, it is
it's odd.
It's a very strange team. It really is, as far as... I I'm flabbergasted in certain ways. Let me just read out the team and then we can discuss it. In goals, it's Alisson. Then at right back, or right...
Right side, anyway.
Right-sided player, anyway. It's Callum Mantap. Danny Wisdom in at left back. Scott Kay, captain in midfield. Dan Brady and Zach Corbett at centre-halves. Then Craig Linfield in the midfield with Steve Irwin, Sefton Gonzalez, Tom Walker, and then Tim Kinsella. So on the bench, we've got Jordan Fagbola, who's had, in our eyes, pretty not a half-bad season so far. Tom Greaves, who obviously has given us everything and got us very nearly through to the first round of the FA Cup. Jason Gilchrist, top quality goal scorer. Conor McCarthy and young Joel Senior. So it begs the question, today is it a question of just having two big men up top with Sefton Gonzalez and Kinsella trying to rough up the home team this afternoon and keep it tight in the middle of the park? What are your thoughts, guys?
To me, you've got your best defender and your best goal scorer sat on the bench.
Well, that's your thoughts, Ben. Do you have any of those thoughts?
I don't think I can argue against Paul, to be honest, what he just said there. It is an odd one. I mean, the only thing we can say as pundits is the fact that we don't see training, and we don't know how they performed in training this week. We do know that based on Marge's post-match interview from Sunday, he did fancy Tim Kinsella. He was commenting.
He was bigging him up, yes.
He was commenting
true.
On how well he performed in training. And I suppose it does boil down to the fact that, as manager, you have to pick what you see on a training pitch, or do you? Is that
well, you
not
don't
how
win
it works?
You never win games on a training pitch. And in fairness, the form of Tommy Greaves recently has been exceptional. You know, he's led from the front. He's probably got, in my opinion, Carl, a couple of stairs of execution. The way things were going, it looked like, you know, for all intents and purposes, we were going to be out of the FA Cup at home against Stockport County. But that performance that the lads put in with nine men, instrumental from Tom Greaves, instrumental for him on the Saturday as well, away at Stockport County when he came on at half time, and he's rewarded with a substitute's role this afternoon. For me, you start with your best 11 against these, and you can bring on the left likes of Sefton Gonzalez, you can bring on Kinsella, but you start with your best team and you work from that. You know, and for me, it's just disappointing to see. I mean, also disappointing to see there's not a single one of the youthful players. I mean, I just had a word with Sam Baird. He's yet again, you know, just a little very upset that he's not even in the squad. He sat there. No room for Joe Logan. I spoke to Joe Logan. Joe Logan said, look, I'm fit. Now, Joe Logan, since he's come here, Paul, has been decent. And we've seen in the last two or three games, he's shown a good bit of quality, and also his temperament of getting back in tracking and working hard has improved week in, week out.
A manager stands and then falls by his team selection.
Well, the ball back now with Chorley, and it's an overplayed ball, and FC's keeper goes across and takes a touch and forced to his feet, and he'll just take his time, utilise the opportunity to just... gather his thoughts and hit a long ball high, hopefully over the halfway line. Well, he's looking for a throw out to the left hand side initially for Corbett, but chooses not to, and then he underhits that massively, and the halfway line with Cottrell. Now Cottrell plays a simple ball up to Norton needs a man on the left hand side, and he finds him, and there's a few puddles there, and the referee, if it carries on like this, might even have thoughts as of a cancelling this game as the ball played into the penalty area. And great defending from Brady, and you can hear the shouts and the screams, the two of them, and they're saying Brady threw his man to the ground there. It was
he took him a lot further out than where the play of the ball was, to be fair.
Yeah,
I think you've got to allow for conditions as well.
Yeah, alright, yeah, the wind took him that far out.
Well, there's a clearance there by Alisson, and this time he goes well over the halfway line, headed on by Teague though, ball controlled by Chorley on this left hand side. Now that's a great ball to the penalty area, and the cross comes Fagbola, and he doesn't deal with it properly. Back to goal though, Chorley, ball chipped towards the back post. Here's a free man there, this should be 1-0. Cuts inside, no one wants a shot on goal, and eventually there's a shot comes in. There's an opportunity, and it is a goal. Well, it paid off there. It was a great save from FC United's goalkeeper, but eventually it had something, it had to give, and it was FC's goal that gave. And it's Horton, the danger man, continuously through all this game, and that's what separates the teams at this moment in time. 1-0 to Chorley. Paul, talk us through that.
Well, it goes back, I think, Fagbola's clearance didn't get distance, did it? I think it maybe hit his own man, and it gave Jolie another opportunity. And when they switched it wide to the far outside of the box, I think it might have been Wilson who had the first shot that was saved, but the ball came out and Horton was the man on the spot. He's absolutely on fire at the moment in terms of scoring goals.
Now, ordinarily, you would have got that clear, but there were so many players slipping around in the penalty area.
It was unfortunate because they defended well, FC United, and they defended all afternoon well. They played well. As the ball just below us now. And
a bit of wrestling.
Careful, Kay. Oh. He's on a yellow card.
Okay, Kay's going to be sent off here.
He did something there, didn't he, when he was getting
up? Yeah, he's going to be sent off, Kay. I think it's... is it Jake Cottrell on the deck? No?
The red card is out.
That's Corbett as well.
Gone off. And if you've seen Kay's... So Corbett's off.
Well, he's got to send Kay off because that's a disgrace from Kay. He's got to he's on a yellow card. He's got to send him off. How's he got away with that?
Mistaken identity? Who knows?
Well, Kay's...
No, Corbett gladly went off, so
Kay's
he did
now,
something.
Kay's now actually having a go with Teague. Did you see what Corbett did?
Well, he didn't argue with the red card, did he? So whatever it was.
And the referee blows his whistle. And that is... the final action of this game here at Victory Park. It's Chorley 1, FC United Manchester 0, and a game where, well, the elements have played a huge, huge part in the game, to the advantage though of Chorley in the second half. They've worked tremendously well in the second half. They've got the goal. FC United down to 10 men with another bit of ill discipline, started off by Kay, himself should have been sent off. And really, he knows himself. He's pretty got one of his own players sent off by getting into a melee of trouble. And the FC United players make their way across to the FC faithful. It's pouring now. They don't spend too much time there. They make their way quickly off Carl and his team go over to the players, and Endeavour was there, work rate was there, just perhaps the wrong team selection. Perhaps you go with your strongest team in the game, really, as a manager. You know you're under the cosh, you know you've got a situation where, you know, there's an opportunity perhaps to change things around. And I was very, very surprised, as we all were, that that Carl never started with the likes of Gilchrist and the likes of Greaves up top in the game. Joe Logan, perhaps, you know, with his pace and quality down the side as well. But started with a different team this afternoon. He started with Gonzalez and with young Kinsella. And for all their endeavour and hard work and work rate, there was never really questioning the goal, worthy Paul. They were never really put under pressure in that first 45 minutes. With all the work that they've done, they've not really tested the goalkeeper at any stage of the afternoon today.
I think the chance was there in the first half with all the advantages of the weather. We didn't cash in. Second half, I suppose, it, you know, in a way you could argue the second half was fairly even in some respects. But, you know, we go back to the goal threat. And how many times the Chorley keeper had to make a save? And the answer is not very many. And we, you know, we look at the starting 11, and how many goals are in it?
Well, exactly, yeah. Just one of the Chorley directors there said, look, I thought you worked really, really hard in that game, and we did. But the thing is, you can work really, really hard and actually put pressure on goalkeepers. And I think if you start with your best two up top, which clearly are, no question for me, are Greaves and Gilchrist, you're going to create more opportunity. There was a couple of chances really in that first half. Kinsella did really well, but the same token, I think if that ball had fed to either Greaves or to Gilchrist, they would have put him away. I mean, that was a difference.
If Gonzalez and Kinsella played on a regular basis for 10 games, how many goals do you think they'd score between them?
3.
Okay, right.
Possibly.
The thing is that we had the advantage in the first half, and that's where most of our chances came from in the game, was in that first half. And if you did have Greaves playing and Gilchrist, how many chances would firstly they have created, and how many chances would they have put away? And that's the question that it's an inferior question, isn't it? At the end of the day, we can't really answer it. But
listen, I've said it at the beginning of the game, before the game, and I've said it, and I say it now. You start with your best 11. Right. You're under the cosh. I mean, you don't go into battle. If you know this is your final hurrah, perhaps at a battle, you don't go into it with your best fighters and your best people that you know you can guarantee will put a shift in. But not only put a shift in, but have a good opportunity to score goals, that have proven that they can score goals for you. You don't bring in a couple of novices that basically haven't played together, that haven't played any football at this level for some time. One hasn't played any football at all at this level until he joined us, and he's had two and a half games. I don't know, Carl obviously seen him in training and thought better of it and put those two in, but for me you start with your best 11. Logan has had three or four good games. Now the thing is, we don't know whether they're injured or not, but you said to me, Ben, is that the
conversation that Paul had for the communications team, the only players who would be missing today would be the ones who were suspended. Everyone else would be fully fit and therefore up for selection.
So who was suspended today?
Connor and Hughes.
Yeah, so I mean,
so left out, we've got the likes of...
Ben, that shows dedication. Look out there now.
What, the kid?
There's a kid in the swirling rain, the pouring rain. He's just run from one end of the pitch to the other. That's the kind of thing I could see your son doing at Broadhurst Park in this weather. Running from one end. He's going to have a shot. You know what?
Fine finish.
1-0.
God, someone scored at that end this afternoon. That's going to be the main talking point tonight on the message boards and on Facebook and on Twitter, the team selection. On the surface, though, it's a 1-0 defeat at Charlie. We did pose a question, though, on It'll Be Off earlier, which was, there's four things you can't control during a football match. And funnily enough, one of them will be a big factor, and that's the pitch and the weather.
And the internet.
But it's for both teams, this. And the way they scored, it was a scramble, but it's easily a scramble we could have had in the first half.
Well, you're dead right, and that's why we posed the question, because we knew the weather was going to be poor this afternoon, and the four things, there's two of them. But what you've got to do is if you're out there in 45 minutes and you win the toss and you know there's an advantage to you with that wind, you've got to go for it. Now, their goalkeeper's come off clean because he's not had to make one save.
He's wet, but he's clean,
but he's not had to make one save. There's no one, oh, great save from the keeper, oh, the keeper's tipped. There was nothing in that respect. And it goes down to me, and it's my personal opinion again, and it's all about opinions, football. And, you hear the likes of Fergie's been slagged off, You've heard all the great managers being slagged off, and those average managers being slagged off, and those being praised from everyone. I think today Carl should have started with his strongest 11 to get a result here this afternoon. Now, he's obviously thought that is his strongest 11, unless he's got no confidence in the others that are on the bench. And I can't understand why Tom Greaves and Gilchrist's got a load of pace. Greaves is going to get right into, all for 90 minutes, going to get into the backs of their two centre-halves. And they work, we've seen the link-up play, and they work closely together. Now, saying that, Kinsella and Gonzalez have put pressure on, but they're nowhere near each other. There's no link-up play. They don't know how to play with each other. They've not had an opportunity. No shots away, really.
This is the argument that we've been having now for weeks. The fact that on a pitch, you've got, and I'm not by no means a football expert, but I understand the idea of, the fullbacks.
He's dead right there. Yeah, that's the first thing he said.
The fullbacks and the wingers need to have a relationship. The two centre backs need to have a relationship. The two centre backs and the goalie do. The two centre backs and the midfielders do, and the two strikers do. And if you're constantly chopping and changing your 11, then those reading between the lines and being instinctive with one another that football teams rely upon isn't going to be there.
No, I agree. And your thoughts, Paul?
Well, this is the wrong thing to say at this point.
Oh, no.
But say it.
I would draw a comparison with what we're going to see tomorrow afternoon, where the manager has got a core of players that he knows he can build around. And what he does is, His team selection does vary, but in key components of the team,
stay
the same players are there every week.
I mean, today we've had a different centre back combination.
I mean, that's forced upon him. But I mean,
is it forced upon him? Did he need to not start with Fagbola?
It is in the respect of he started with a different team and then he has to change it. Yes, would you start with Fagbola ordinarily? You would, him and Corbett.
To be fair, Brady had a good game, but and the defence wasn't the problem. But that's what I'm saying. And there was an occasion as well, all the way through the second half, Mantak is playing everyone onside.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because as a back four, he doesn't know what the line is.
And if you think about it, how many strikers have we played this season?
Well, that as well.
How many?
I mean, this is the argument is though, is that this is non-league and you can't. The chances of getting a consistent side is difficult in non-league football. Do you share that? Do you sympathise with that viewpoint?
Do you think the teams in at the top of the table now make as many changes as we do?
Well, they're professional. I'm more interested in the likes of Curzon or Chawley, for example.
They stick with the same team pretty much week in, week out, with a few tweaks here, a few tweaks there. We've been chopping, changing.
You watch a lot of Northern Premier League. Do you find their team changes?
No.
Not often.
Drastically, week after week after week.
I mean, it's all right. So, I mean, teams up at the top, they have that consistency, but are they at the top because they've got that consistency in the team selection?
It's a good question.
Or are they consistent because they can afford to be?
But do you think there comes a time when the manager has to nail his 11 to the mast?
Well, yeah, that was August, and I've said that since
pre-season. But the problem is we've got such a bad disciplining record. We've lost so many players through ill discipline, so therefore he's had to change it. But again, you know, we've had another player sent off today.
When Hughes comes back from suspension, Corbett will start his. And this is... Kay's got another yellow card.
Well, the worst
so
thing
they,
is...
they're clocking up as
the
well.
The worst thing is, FC United have not, and never have been, a dirty team. You know, an over-physical team. And we're now...
Unassailably clear of the fair play league.
We are, and some people. We haven't. We it's three or four players week in, week out, causing this situation for us. But the thing is, because of those bookings, because of the situation. I mean, I'm just wondering whether Cardiff thought, you know, I'm going to throw a curveball there at Jansen. They won't have a clue. They're going to play these two wallop on they come. Because why would you? Why would you start with two players opposed to two players that you know you can rely on? That, I'm not saying they didn't rely on the two players, so they've done well tonight. I think Gonzalez worked. I think they both worked hard. It's just there's no end product, but they did work hard. But you're going to get end product from Gilchrist. You're going to get end product from Tom Greaves. He's proved it the last month to Carl. Saying, look, I won't go out on loan. I need some games from some fitness. Fine. He was in what he said about going out. He said, I can understand completely because Gilchrist is playing well, and therefore I can't. Go in front of him, so I need to go out. He goes out for one game, comes back, and obviously the FA Cup helps, and he's done really, really well today on the bench. For me, it seems very, very strange. It seems very, very strange also on the bench today for me to see the likes of Logan on the bench today. We're just going to move now while they put the boards up. But here Logan, we're not being thrown out.
Logan wasn't on the bench though, was he? He's in the stands. It's just odd. It's just very odd. And obviously, you know...
We've had
a couple of correspondents in. Gaynor says, hiya, always gutted. Yeah, that's true, Gaynor. Oh, you got in touch, didn't you, against when we played Telford?
Which Gaynor is it?
Gaynor Mullane. Gary Adelman has been in touch to say, when you've got a player who has scored over 90 goals, why doesn't he start? That says everything about the manager's outlook on wanting to win and taking a chance. To be fair, he has taken a chance this afternoon with his team selection. I don't know if there's any question about that.
He's taken a chance. He's taken a chance, in my opinion, on his FC career as a manager. I mean, you know, for me, he knows he's in trouble. He knows there's people talking. He he's come out. And he's working in the dressing room and with the players, and then to change it so much as he's done today, I just find very strange. You're going to have to interview him, yep. I mean, shortly, and unless you leave it till tomorrow, like you did last week. But the same token is, I would always rely, Paul, would you not rely on people that you know?
If you were sending the team out to save your job.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, to me...
You go with what you know, don't you?
Jason Gilchrist will score a lot of goals in his career. If he doesn't play for us, he's going to go and score for somebody else.
I would have started with two wide men. Pace, Logan, Linfield, two up top, Gilchrist,
Greaves.
Midfield, Irwin,
Kay,
with the two men there. And in defence is what you, Fag Bowler and
Corbett. Although Brady did have a good game, to be fair.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But you can play Brady where he's been playing every week recently. Right back. And your left back is Danny Wisden, you know. And then on your bench, you've got your Mantak. I mean, you could even put Mantak in front of Linfield, because Mantak's done quite well since he's been playing that wide. But you take the game to them with a load of pace. You know, don't sit back. Let's go for it. You know, rely. Because if we leave here today in a pulsating game of football, it's all cut and thrust, and the goalkeeper's making saves here, there and everywhere, and you go, you know what, that's the FC way. Today, huff and puff, lots of endeavour, but no end products whatsoever. And that's disappointing. And that'll be disappointing to Carl. But he's the person that's put the players on. You know, I know it's forced injury with two players. He wouldn't want to bring Irwin off. And he certainly didn't want to bring off Danny Wisdom in the early parts of the game. But he's had to do that. McCarthy coming on, I just go, right, hold on, how long have I got left?
Well, that
half an hour, right, let's bang on Gilchrist and then bring on Greaves. Or vice versa, or both together.
That was the problem, though, with the substitutes bench. I mean, we picked up upon it. Why wouldn't you have Logan on the bench, given the fact that he didn't have a particularly bad game when he came when he played against Telford, whereas McCarthy didn't have a good game. So
no, he didn't at all. No.
So and why would you not have?
And even McCarthy,
a midfielder on the bench.
Even McCarthy in the 9-man victory when he came on didn't play particularly well either. In all fairness to him, I mean, he has brought something to FC certainly.
That's a criticism of the substitutes bench, the selection of the substitutes bench. When you've got a selection of players sitting with us up here, you know, the likes of Jones, the likes of Logan,
we know Glyn, the situation with Glyn. He's been out on loan. He's come back now. See what he can do moving forward. The others have been in and around the squad. I mean, it's 14 games in, is it?
Yeah.
Baird hasn't played a second.
No.
You know, he's on contract, 2-year contract. Best player in six, you know, man of the match 3 games running out of the 6 he played in last season. He's not played 1 minute of football, not 1 second of football, for 14 games in. Now, if he's the future of the football club, I tell you what, I won't come to FC, because I won't want to sit there for 14 games to do nothing. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. They'll get the time.
Unfortunately, this goes back to the conversation we had at half time before the match, where we said, you know, Margie said Kinsella was doing really well in training, and you know, I asked the question, are you going to start the game the way you finished against Telford with Greaves, with Gilchrist up front? And he mentioned Kinsella. We don't know how the players perform in training. The only thing we can say is that a football match against Chorley here in wet conditions is different to a training session at Broadhurst Park.
And also, a training session is very different from a football match. And Kinsella stepped up a huge, huge gap, you know, from North West Counties all the way up to where we are now. So in that respect, I just go with your tried and trusted players. I've actually been doing a job for you recently as well. It's not as if they've not been playing well, those two. They've been scoring goals and playing well. And they're a good unit together. And you can bring and Kinsella can come on the bench. And if you need him for the last 20 minutes, go in there and just bang into players and work and the rest of it. Gonzalez the same. You know, he can come in and he can do that. But you start with your players that have proven over seasons that they can do it for you. There's no point in them having them if they're not going to play. There's no point in having a player the quality of Baird if he sits on the bench. Well,
he's not even on the bench.
He's not. 14 games he's not played. He's been on the bench 3 or 4 times, but he's not even got a kick. I don't understand the reasons why. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, we got beat here this afternoon. We've had lots of endeavour. Lots of work rate. We've put a shift in and we got nothing out of it because our end product's not been there. You know, and there's players there this afternoon that have worked really, really hard as... these two guys are slightly...
Yeah, we're going to wrap up now.
No, we don't have to wrap up. Where's the...
We do.
Where's the lead?
The lead goes into that room. So
what I can tell you is we have dropped to 21st.
And also your stats, just a reminder of this stat, because it is quite extraordinary, I think. We're so far into the season now, and this stat is quite important. This percentage of times we can see goals in the last half an hour.
Yeah, it's still around the 60%. It's probably gone up now. But it's the last 30 minutes, we've conceded more than 60% of our goals this season.
The one thing to bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this conversation wouldn't have been had if we'd kicked off, say, 20 minutes late.
Yeah, because this
the pitch now is waterlogged. And I mean, totally waterlogged. The game would have been called off. Unfortunately, yeah, it hasn't been called off because the game is over and we're sailing. I mean, we just go straight down the ship canal.
Shall we go?
I suppose we're going to have to.
So, from everyone here at the Victory Ground, we'll be back on Saturday for Nuneaton.
These guys will. I won't.
But from everyone here at Victory Park, we wish you all a fond farewell and we'll see you soon.
Peace. Take care, everybody.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. And to find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, that defeat for FC United leaves Carl Marchison's side second bottom in the table, 1 point behind Boston and Gainsborough Trinity, and 4 points behind next opponents Nuneaton Town. Higher up the table and leaders Harrogate Town were forced to settle for a point against Leamington on Saturday after an entertaining 2-2 draw. Salford City moved to within a point of the leaders after edging out York City by 3-2 at Moor Lane. There's now a 5-point gap opened up between Salford and third place Blyth Spartans, who were beaten 3-1 at St James's Park by a now fourth place Brackley Town. Blythe's neighbours, Spennymoor Town, are fifth after sharing a 2-2 draw at Agborough against mid-table Kidderminster Harriers. Chorley and Curzon Ashton complete the top seven and both won home games on Saturday, with Curzon beating Boston United 2-1 at the Tameside Stadium. Stockport County pulled up to ninth place and within a couple of points of the top seven after beating a Nuneaton side, still in shock after losing manager Tommy Wright to league rivals Darlington FC on Friday. Tommy Wright's new side got off to a good start as they overcame Bradford Park Avenue 2-1 at Blackwell Meadows. Another man watching his new team for the first time was Kevin Davies, who had a frustrating start as boss of Southport with a 2-2 draw against Gainsborough Trinity. Alfreton Town, they leapfrogged Tamworth into 12th spot after edging their game 3-2. And finally, North Ferriby United lost 2-0 to Telford United. Whew, that was a lot. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Cheerio.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to Broadhurst Park this coming Saturday as the Reds host Nuneaton Town. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, holders FC United hosted Penrith in the first round of the Argyle Cup in the main stadium at Broadhurst Park. To hear if the Reds could make it through to the second round, it's over to WT Live from Sunday afternoon.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. Not the back of the main stand like you've become accustomed to on a Sunday afternoon. Oh no, we're actually in the main stadium and we're here this afternoon for FC United of Manchester against Penrith in the first round of the Argyle Cup. FC United defending this cup this season, and it is a proper ding-dong because we've got the team who are top of Division 1 South in the North West Regional League, that's FC United, versus the team currently top of Division 1 North. Oh, and joining me for commentary this afternoon, we've got Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
And to my right-hand side, he's just been mooching around watching football at various different levels, it's Roy Sill. Hello, Roy.
Good afternoon, Ben, and listeners.
Kickoff is about to get underway, but it really is a proper game of football this afternoon. It's two teams going at it who are both in terrific form. Neither of them have actually conceded a goal yet this season in the league, have they, Paul?
No, it's going to be really, really tight this game. And FC are defending the Argyle Cup, so the first game of the defence.
So just to give you the FC United team, we've got free kick coming over the top first, that was headed clear by Fran Davis, and there's Fields trying to chase onto the ball, but Penrith get the ball back, we're a ball down the left hand side, but Jess McCarrick is there covering, and the ball's being passed back to Gemma Jackson. Gemma Jackson, who I have yet to see save any shot on goal after watching the women's team six times this season already. I honestly haven't seen FC United's goalkeeper make a save. I don't think that's going to be the case this afternoon though, Paul. No. I'll be waiting long.
This is going to be a test, certainly.
Here's Greenall with a lovely sweeping pass out to his right hand side for Lukes to get onto, and Lukes now crosses that ball in towards Jess Battle. Battle gets the ball, turns and shoots into the bottom corner, and after 55 seconds here at Broadhurst Park, Jess Battle has given FC United the lead.
Well, it took 22 seconds last Sunday. It took a little bit longer on the big pitch today, but she certainly knows how to finish.
So, just to remind you, Penrith comes into this game without conceding a goal, and after 55 seconds, that's what happens. So, I'll give you the team. Gemma Jackson, Fran Davis, Abby Carrington, Olivia Greenall, Jess McCarrick, Yvette Lukes, who put that ball in there for Jess Battle, Fran Sullivan, Rebecca Foster, Jess Battle, Cara Fields, and Kirsty Chambers, the captain. Substitutes, Winters, Patience, Tattersall, Hatcliffe and Holden. Throwing taken, well controlled there by Sullivan. Sullivan crosses this ball in towards the far post. Only Kirsty Chambers is there, and it's going to go all the way to the other corner flag. Kirsty Chambers checks inside, into the penalty box. Kirsty Chambers on another foot, pokes it into the bottom corner. And with 3 minutes on the clock, FC United are running riot here. Kirsty Chambers there with FC United's second goal of the afternoon.
Well, there's no time to write down names in this game.
I think I'll be here all afternoon.
Well, Sullivan scored six goals.
She scored six from midfield in a game
weeks ago.
And that was with a very much damage limitation lineup.
Well, that goal kick only gets as far as Battle. Battle with a nice little pass forward to Sullivan, who goes for the lob. Sullivan makes it 3-0 to FC United. 39 minutes gone. And a beautiful lob there.
And I don't think a left foot is a natural foot, but she did a good job to beat the keeper with it.
She did the old ice cream shot.
She just about got enough on it.
And I bet the manager of Penrith is just waiting, longing for the half-time whistle to get the team back into the changing room. It has been a very impressive first half from FC.
I can imagine, like, you know, coming to a stadium like this as well is a little bit, shall we say,
daunting.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, I mean, and I've seen Penrith's ground, and it's very much
isn't it?
Well, the old one was a dry stone wall.
It looks ground. Keep that ball in, plays the ball back to Battle. Yeah. Battle on the near post, slots it into the top corner, and it's now 4-0 with 3 minutes left to play this first half. And
would you say that was a striker's, a centre forward's goal?
Yeah, it was Luke's, wasn't it?
When you think about it, it was a little bit reminiscent of remember Charlton's in the 68?
Yeah.
Where he clipped it over his shoulder, right into the top corner. Well, very reminiscent.
It was the movement that made it, wasn't it?
No, definitely. I mean, this width, like I said, you're getting width and you're getting opportunities to cross the ball.
Here's Sullivan now. Sullivan plays the ball out to Jess McCarrick. It's a bit quiet here all of a sudden. It was a bit more rowdy in the first half.
They have got a sub on Penrith.
Oh, more on that in a second, but here's Lukes now. Lukes dips the shoulder and now charging towards the byline. Crosses this ball in, pulls the ball back to Sullivan. Sullivan shoots, good save. Ball breaks to Sullivan. Sullivan slots it home. And 30 seconds into the second half, and Sullivan makes it 5-0. Chambers now plays the ball to the right back and appeals for offside there, but the ball was clearly played backwards by Kirsty Chambers. And here is Jess McCarrick now crossing the halfway line, plays the ball central, appeals for offside again. Greenall does well picking up the second ball. Greenall plays the ball through there to Sullivan. Sullivan is onside and one on one with the goalkeeper. Oh, that's a lovely finish there from Sullivan. And is that a hat trick, Paul?
Opening up the body, it was a joy to watch, wasn't it? I suppose it was the pass that made it as well, though.
Pass was excellent, little diagonal through the line of defence, and she just ran onto it and picked a spot, basically.
To answer your question, yes, it's a Fran Sullivan hat-trick yet again.
Thanks, Paul. You should have answered me sooner. I was like, oh, I made such a mistake there. Oh, it wasn't a hat-trick. It is a hat-trick. In the space of, 39 to 52 minutes? Hat-trick.
13.
13 minutes for Fran Sullivan. Jess McCarrick, and McCarrick now.
Big space.
Moving forward down this right hand side, shy of the halfway line, plays it square to Foster now,
and again just pass it again
out to this left hand side to Greenall. Helps it on to Chambers, and it is walking pace but effective walking pace is. Chambers plays it forward to Sullivan. Sullivan's lining up a shot there, but it's a lovely pass to Fields. Lovely first touch from Fields, and what a finish. And that is 7-0. And is that Fields' first competitive goal for the club?
I think it is. Well, that was a goal of real quality,
wasn't
it?
What a first touch from Fields, though.
We're just on the hour mark now. In the blink of an eye, it's 7-0.
Well, here's Greenall now. Greenall, still with the ball. Now, a lovely through ball there to Chambers. Just Chambers crosses this ball into Battle. And just Battle, that's her hat-trick on the hour mark. FC United now 8-0 up. 65 minutes gone here at Broadhurst Park. 8-0, the score. It's going to be an in-swinger from the park side. In it comes. It's a good corner to the near post. He's cleared. Only as far as Battle. Battle's going to play it out. Yeah. To Kirsty Chambers. Chambers now. Ops still on the left foot. From the corner, the penalty box shoots into the top corner. Kirsty Chambers, that's her second of the afternoon. And it's FC United and Manchester's ninth goal.
Take the pips out of that one.
Blimey.
Well, when Kirsty hits the ball at times, it just stays hit, doesn't it?
Here is Foster now. Foster through the middle, a lovely through ball to Chambers. Good finish. First touch from Chambers. Chambers into the bottom corner. And that's Kirsty Chambers' hat trick. 10-0.
I like that drilled finish into the corner. Quite often she just hammers it, but that was a bit of placement in there.
And Penrith now on this right hand side. There's Hatcliffe pressurising, forces the error. Here's Chambers now on the ball. Chambers to Hatcliffe on this left hand touchline. Hatcliffe now coming in field with it, plays it to Sullivan. There's a 1-2 there, back to Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe now into the, oh, and that's a good bit of defending there from Charlotte.
Pressure's
Smith.
Not off yet.
But here's Chambers now. Chambers plays the ball.
Go on.
To Sullivan. Sullivan plays it to Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe is 1-on-1. And that is 11-0.
Nice finish.
Nice play.
Look at the celebration behind the goal.
He's loving it. And that, the listeners, full time here at Broadhurst Park. Came into this game with FC United, currently top of Division 1 South, playing Penrith, currently top of Division 1 North. Both teams haven't conceded a goal this season in the league. Well, let me tell you, Penrith have conceded a goal now, 11 of them, in the Argyle Cup. FC United and Manchester 11, Penrith 0. We'll get Paul's thoughts in a second. What's your thoughts, Roy?
My thoughts haven't changed since 5 minutes into the game, and seeing fitness levels weren't as good as FC's. The passing ability wasn't as good as FC's. And basically, they can go off, you know, with their head held high, because they have been beaten by the better team.
And we're talking a lot of goals here this afternoon. And we're talking three hat-tricks, a hat-trick of hat-tricks, if that makes sense. Jess Battle got the scoring underway after 50 seconds. She ended up getting a hat-trick on the hour mark. Kirsty Chambers, her first goal was on 4 minutes. She got a hat-trick after 70 minutes. And Fran Sullivan, well, she got a hat-trick in the middle of the game, a 13-minute spell. Fran Sullivan getting a hat-trick. Cara Fields got her first competitive goal for the club. Nicole Hatcliffe also got a goal too. 11 of them this afternoon. And Paul, it's been Luke Podmore's always after sending out messages. That's a message right there, isn't it?
I think he was hoping for a good result, but I think even this was outside his imagination today, in terms of seeing off Penrith side with such a good record in the league already this campaign. It certainly is a thumping result, and it's a great advertisement for the women's team playing in the stadium again, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully it'll be a home draw in the next round of the Argyle Cup, and hopefully again, because FC United got knocked out of the FA Cup quite early, all the FA Cup matches were going to be played here. Hopefully that will happen in the Argyle Cup.
I'd like to think that they'll get another opportunity if they get another home draw at some stage, because it's not, I mean, it's a great opportunity for them to play on the big pitch in a proper stadium.
But with an atmosphere as well.
With an atmosphere, yeah. And I think it has brought in a few extra people that may not have watched on the 3G.
We'll find out what the attendance was later, but there must be at least 150, 200 here. We've all paid to get in. The bar's being used now. The bar's more or less what it's like about 20 minutes after full time here for the men's game, to be fair. There's a lot of people using it, and that's what the club needs, money. So, you know, squeeze it wherever
it ticks
you can.
A lot of boxes,
exactly.
Doesn't?
Where do you see this result?
Well, I mean,
for FC United?
It's a one-off cup tie, obviously, and there's no points
at
stake.
Though, isn't it?
But when people look at the scores tonight, which people do in the women's game, they look at this and think, "Well, my God, they must have some good players." Whether it means that future opposition come here with a bit more caution, I don't know.
Well, they came with caution. I mean, that's what you saw, right, straight away. They were set up to defend. And, well, you can see it after 50 seconds. You're already on the back foot, aren't you?
The difference is, I mean, you have first class, you have second class. And today, FC have been first class. And that class is told not only in the scoreline, but also in the manner that they went about the task. You know, they passed the ball. They used the ball well. They shot when they had to shoot. They weren't frightened of shooting. Goalkeeper, I can only remember her actually using her hands once on one occasion. And she was quite capable, you know, with her feet as well. She could most probably play outfield, you know. The distribution was really good.
Speaking of goalkeepers, I mean, Michelle Jones did a couple of cracking saves in that second half there. It could have been a lot worse for Penrith. But,
She made a couple in the first half, didn't she?
Yeah, that's true.
I made it 14 saves.
Man of the match? What are we going with?
There's a few candidates there, to be honest. McCarrick played well. Davis just cantered her way through her game.
Fields?
Chambers?
Fields?
I just felt...
Foster?
I thought Greenhouse did really, really well. I thought she kept the game simple. Foster was quite influential, should I say, in the way she sort of ran the midfield. But Greenhouse was here, there and everywhere, made herself available for those little touches off Foster, and was prompting forward movement all the time. And then she was also supporting that forward movement. So I personally give her a little bit of credit for her industriousness.
Let's give Olivia then man of the match. And yep. Just to say, can I share with the listener where you were this morning? Is that all right?
Yeah, you're fine.
So Roy's joined us today because literally he was coming back from Carrington. He's been watching United's youth team play this morning. He saw all the cars parked up. He rang me and said, what's going on at Broadhurst Park? I said, oh, the women's team are playing. He said, oh, do you want me to come along and commentate? I went, yes, Roy, that'd be lovely. So Roy, thank you for spending an extra 3 hours away from your home.
I never ever say can I come and commentate. I always say, do you want some company?
Yeah, that's
what I say.
So thank you, Roy, for joining us. Thank you, Stato Paul. Coming up next for the women's team, it's West Didsbury and Charlton back here at Broadhurst Park in the league, and we'll have full coverage of that on FC Radio. And then it's the big game in the league, Curzon Ashton on Bonfire Night. That's the 5th of November, and we'll be here back at Broadhurst Park for that. The women's team live. For FC Live, we'll be back next week, and for FC United against Nuneaton, also from Broadhurst Park, here's the post-match thoughts of Luke Podmore speaking with Neil Boo.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and ace striker Jess Battle with another hat-trick to add to her total. You're pretty much closing in on all-time hero for one season, Firuz Abdullah, who scored 9. It looks like you're going to get there. You've got about 5 already.
Oh, yeah. Each game, I just try my best to help the team win, and if that means scoring goals, then it's a good thing. And especially when we've got a ground like this to play on, it just makes it extra special.
Yeah, it was a special day, wasn't it? First competitive game for the women inside here. We've certainly stepped up from the muddy mulch that we started off with at Broadhurst Park, only about a quarter mile over the road. But this is a nice surrounding.
Yeah, it was a great day. I think, you know, the fans all enjoyed themselves today. We built the occasion up, and I think the ladies delivered on the pitch. So I don't think you can argue with 11 goals and no response. Yeah, just really proud of them all. And, you know, it's only what they deserve. They all deserve to be on this platform every week, and hopefully we can get to that stage at some point in the future.
Yeah, but that'd be lovely, wouldn't it? We started off it pretty much like last week with 2 early goals, and then it slowed down a bit, and I thought it seemed to be following almost the same pattern. We got one towards the end of the second half, but we really turned it up after the break, though. We sort of pounded them into the dust, really.
Yeah, I think credit to the girls, because I think last week when we encountered a bit of a roadblock, I think they really struggled to work it out. And I think this week, obviously coming through training and obviously having a bit more of a positive mindset, I think we managed to break them down. Well, obviously we did, and we scored another 9 after that. So rather than get sort of come unstuck, we decided to, you know, do things a little bit differently and found a different way to break them down, and then obviously scored more goals. So
yeah, it looked a lot more free flowing this week compared to last week, pretty much like it was 2 weeks ago when we were a lot more at ease on the ball, and it just seemed to find a lot of space. Some lovely crosses from Yvette to to get the goals in, certainly for your second possibly, was it?
I think it was the first on third, yeah.
Yeah, the one that you chipped in at the near post, that was a really lovely one. Was that an outside of the foot little thing or
no? It was inside of the foot. And funnily enough, at training on Wednesday, all we did was work on the inside of our foot finishing. So I think I did it for three of my goals out of the three. So it's when training works and we carry it into the game on a Sunday, which shows a lot.
Yeah, that's got to be quite rewarding, hasn't it? When you practice something, but not only do you try it, but it also comes off as well and be successful and adds to what was a terrific scoreline.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the attitude of the group we've got this year is we've got that attitude now. You know, we work on something and you can see it going onto the pitch, and that's obviously what's taken us from where we were to where we are now. And you know, as the season goes on, we just need to keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully come the end of the season we can be at the top.
Exactly. I mean, that's only got to build confidence, hasn't it? I mean, yep. They were top of their division. I don't think they conceded a goal in the league prior to that. So it shows that the South, as we suspected, is quite a lot stronger than the North when you can batter the top of the division 11-0.
Yeah, and we'd like to say we've just got to beat what's in front of us. You know, we'll carry on for 93 minutes. We'll carry on trying to score a goal. You know, we never get complacent, or we never settle for what we've got. We need to keep going and try and get more, and that's the only way we'll reach the top.
Yeah, so we're back in the league again next week.
Yep, so home against West Isbury and Charlton on the 3G. So yeah, again, fantastic turnout from the fans, and we'd love obviously to see some of us carry that into next week.
Yeah, there's quite obviously some new faces today, getting a bit of an eye full of quality football, and hopefully next week in the league we can carry on not only winning but clean sheets maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That's the one.
All right, thanks very much, Jess.
Cheers, Neil.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.